Happy Easter and greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome on this Easter Sunday from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. And a special welcome to anyone who's found us today for the first time. We're glad that you are here and we pray that you will be blessed by this time. And we're delighted to have a special guest preacher today. We welcome the Reverend Matt Finch, and he is the pioneering and church planting officer for the Methodist Church. And his message is called The Promise Fulfilled, as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of you. Amen. And please join me in our call to worship. Your parts are going to appear on the screen in white. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! God is alive. New birth is given. Hope is alive. A new age is dawning. Joy is alive. Redemption is here. Love is alive. Death cannot harm us. We are alive. New life is within us. The church is alive. God's Spirit is within us. God of life, we worship you. God of creation, we praise you. God of revelation, we learn from you. God of resurrection, we come to celebrate you. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! So we're going to celebrate as we begin by singing number 298 in Singing the Faith, Christ the Lord is risen today. The words will be on the screen too as we join in with all of creation to sing Alleluia. So let's join together. I want to have you sing loud enough that your neighbours can hear your voices. Christ the Lord is risen today.
See you.
Let us come before God now in prayer. When everything was dark and it seemed that the sun would never shine again, your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. The sparks cast by your love dance and spread and burst forth with resurrection light. Gracious God, we praise you for the light of new life made possible through Jesus and that shone on the first witnesses of resurrection and that continues to shine in our hearts today. We come now to make our confession. Living Lord, when we stand before the empty tomb and see the signs of your resurrection, we're still not sure what we're seeing. Forgive the fear that paralyzes us at the brink of new life. Forgive our doubt of your love. Forgive our distrust of your surprising, joyous plan. Fill our emptiness with your glorious light. Raise us to abundant new life for the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ calls us to new life. Christ will lead us into righteousness. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Reading our scripture for us today is Reverend Malcolm Clark, and he is a retired minister and a former circuit superintendent living in our circuit.
Our gospel for today is from St. John, chapter 20, the first half of the chapter. And before I start to read, I just want to draw your attention to a fact about this passage. And that is that there is a use of the personal pronoun you and mine, the possessive pronoun. Because when it comes to Mary responding to Jesus' presence with the word Rabuni, then that is a Hebrew for my master. And as far as I'm aware, the New English Bible is the only translation that includes that translation. And that's why I'm reading from my NEB. So, early on the Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been moved away from the entrance and ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. "They've taken the Lord out of his tomb," she cried, "and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the others set out and made their way to the tomb. They were running side by side, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He peered in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but didn't enter. Then Simon Peter came up, following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying and the napkin which had been over his head, not lying with the wrappings, but rolled together in a place by itself. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first went in too, and he saw and believed. Until then, they had not understood the scriptures which showed that he must rise from the dead. So the disciples went home again. But Mary stood at the tomb outside, weeping. As she wept, she peered into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, "Why are you weeping?" She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." With these words, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but didn't recognize him. Jesus said to her, "Why are you weeping? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "If it is you, sir, who removed him, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." And he turned to him and said, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for "my master." Jesus said, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am now ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with her news. "I have seen the Lord," she said, and gave them his message. May God speak to us through that reading. I wish you a happy Easter.
We're going to continue in song and sing some more Alleluias. This is number 295. Alleluia, Alleluia. Give thanks to the risen Lord. Spread the good news over all the earth. Jesus has died and has risen. We may still be in our own homes, but let's sing together joyfully.
Alleluia, Alleluia. Give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, Alleluia. Give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord of all.
It's great to be with you on this Easter Sunday morning. Sadly, I'm in my study in St. Ives, Cambridge here, rather than with you in one of your chapels or churches in the Ipswich circuit. And I hope you know that even though I'm not with you this morning or get to preach in the circuit very often, I still carry you in my heart as I travel around the connection, chatting to people with my hat on as the pioneering and church planting officer. I often share that it was in the circuit that I grew up, and especially the church that I grew up in, Capel St Mary Methodist Church, that invested in me and my sense of call as a young person, both to follow Jesus, but to offer for ordained ministry. And it was in that place that I found who I was called to be, and I encourage many people throughout the Methodist Church in Britain to invest in their young people and to see them as leaders. So I stand here because of many faithful prayers and people who were alongside me in that journey when I was a teenager. Today we're reflecting on the passage from John's Gospel. We're considering what it is for God's promises to be fulfilled. Easter Sunday is the ultimate fulfillment of every promise that God has made and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's been an interesting time for society, for the world, as we reflect upon a year in the pandemic. It's fascinating to think about what we have seen, what we have witnessed as humanity, as individuals and as communities. So I wonder, as you have been in lockdown, some of you have maybe found it hard, some have perhaps enjoyed that space from the routine at times. I guess all of us are weary of it. But one thing's for sure is that you've probably watched more TV than you would have done. Did you know that over 9 million people tuned in for Captain Tom's 100th birthday and the final lap of his garden? 27 million people tuned in to hear the Prime Minister's announcement and that first lockdown. As well as those headlines, I'm sure if you're like me, you've been searching for those good box sets to watch on Netflix or on Disney or on Amazon if you're signed up, or on the BBC iPlayer or whichever media channel you like to follow. We have been watching an awful lot of TV to get us through these dark months. One thing that the Finches have loved is Death in Paradise. Goodness me, there's a lot of murders on that tiny Caribbean island. I thought, seeing as I'm reliably informed you're an insightful, clever lot in the Ipswich circuit, we would have a little look at a murder mystery. So I'm going to ask you to solve this whodunit. So a video of 2 minutes is about to come up, and I invite you to have a little look at this whodunit. Can you guess who the murderer was?
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buttering his lordship's scones below stairs, sir.
Why, I was planting my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest Lady Smythe.
But how did you know?
Madam, as any horticulturist will tell you, one does not plant petunias until May is out. Take her away.
Sorry, madam.
It's just a matter of observation. The real question is, how observant were you?
Action.
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buttering his lordship's scones below stairs, sir.
I was planting my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest Lady Smythe.
Now, I hope you don't feel too cheated that it was nothing to do with the whodunit, that it was nothing to do with the murder, more about the things that you weren't able to spot or see as you were watching that film. If you guessed and spotted the differences, well, I don't want to call you a liar, but you've probably watched it before. That's why you're able to spot all the changes in the set. As we reflect upon God's Easter promise fulfilled, as we reflect upon the John 20 passage, there's a lot in it about perception. There's a lot in it about what we, what Mary and Peter and John are seeing. And so the challenge comes to us on this Easter Sunday as God's people here and now. What are you seeing as you read that passage or hear it read to you? The gospel writer of John has three Greek words for seeing. They're either translated as see or saw in our New Testament in English. But actually those words are more nuanced, and perhaps today for us open up a little bit more understanding about it. So Mary comes to the garden. It's dark, it's before the sun has risen, and she saw that the stone had been rolled away, that it had been moved. Mary was coming to the garden in the dark, full of grief, full of sorrow, dealing with the loss of somebody she loved so very much, someone in whom she had begun to understand the world in a different way, someone she had grown to love and be inspired by, was now gone. This early morning garden is full not of the joys of the Easter celebrations to come, but of loss and heavy heart. The Greek word here, blepo, is all about seeing at face value. She spots that the stone has been rolled away, and all it does is inform her understanding of the world that is full of pain and full of sadness. The Easter story does not begin with jubilation. The first Easter day, that garden does not begin with rejoicing. It begins with loss, built upon more loss and more loss for a woman who is grieving. That's why she runs, because her world, which she thought could not be broken anymore, has indeed now knows more grief and sadness. I wonder for us, as we gather online, as God's people on this Easter Sunday, as we look at our world, I think loss and lostness is something that everybody is wrestling with. Many have lost loved ones, perhaps you have, during this pandemic. Many have lost community connections that sustained them. Some have lost their jobs. Others have lost years of connection with grandchildren and colleagues and friends. For us, our gift to the world on this Easter Sunday perhaps begins by acknowledging the loss and the pain of the pandemic. It's in that honesty and in that sorrow for what is lost that the resurrection can take root and begin to grow. Perhaps our gift to the world at this time is to acknowledge the grief, the sadness and the sorrow. I was in a conversation recently with someone not of faith, and they said to me, goodness me, the church really knows how to deal with death. Maybe as we begin to talk of new hope and new life, we need to be honest with people and enable them to be honest about their loss and about their sadness, that the Easter life might creep in and begin to transform them. The next word in the Greek is more theorio. He saw the linen cloths lying there. Peter goes in and notices, rather than sees, notices that the grave clothes have been folded. I wonder today, as you look at your world, at your life, at the church that you perhaps are a part of, what are you noticing that has changed? One of the big things for us as society, as individuals and as churches, is that as we return back to normal, we need to notice the things that have changed. As human beings, we have changed because of this. Our neighbours have changed and we have changed, and a new reality is with us. So there is the loss, but there is a new understanding of ourselves and who we are. Easter Sunday, God's promises fulfilled, is all about a new understanding of the world. Noticing that things have changed, that death has been broken, that new life bursts forth. I wonder if you reflect upon 12 months ago and notice what has changed. There is perhaps a challenge to realise that we held too tightly to structures and systems and ways of doing things. I've talked to many throughout the Methodist connection who have shared that they're slightly sad of the things they made too important, and that lockdown has provided times of new devotions and energy in prayer and Bible study. I invite you this Easter Sunday to notice what has changed, that as we seek God's promises fulfilled in our lives on this Easter day, what things have changed in you? What things have you noticed you must hold strong to because of the year you have been on? What things must you let go of and not pick up when our doors of our churches open, when we engage with our neighbours again? And then finally, Edo is the Greek word that John uses for he saw and believed. He saw and believed. This word could be translated better as wonder. He wondered and believed. In light of the loss, in light of what you have noticed, I wonder what you wonder is next for you and for the church. What does God's Easter promise fulfilled look like for you in your life? Do not pick up that which was past, but seize hold of what God has for you next. Wonder what it is that God is calling you to do. Wonder what is possible for you and your churches as you engage with new people you have encountered online. New things that you have learnt about your communities, what they are passionate about, and how the wonderful Easter faith might connect with them. I cannot believe the creativity I have seen during lockdown. Churches connecting with new people, of new digital churches beginning, of new creative ideas about what will come after lockdown is released. I encourage you this day to wonder what it is that your Easter faith will enable you and your churches to be and do for the world around us. Do not confine your understanding of who God is calling you to be on the Easter's past. What is the challenge of this Easter day as you wonder what the new life that Christ releases and sets free on the world in that first Easter morning means for you in your journey with Jesus, but also in who your church is called to be in the hurting communities that are around us? So today, this Easter Sunday, I encourage you to take hold of God's fulfillment of his promises for your life and for your churches. Take hold of what's important. Do not just simply pick up what is past. For Easter and the new life it releases on the world is for this moment and for every time. So I invite you to see the loss that is in the world around you, just as Mary went to that first garden full of woe and sadness. It was in that place of sorrow that the resurrection began to unfurl. What is it that you notice has changed about you and your world? What might God be saying to you in the changes, in the subtle movements of the world around you? And I encourage you to wonder who God is calling you to be. What does this Easter life mean for you today and for the churches you are a part of it? May you know God's promises fulfilled in your life. that you might share God's love and Easter life in the world so desperate for transformation that only God can bring.
Thank you, Matt, for your sermon. I loved the video that you showed us. It's amazing how much we do not see and that we do not realise that we are missing in life. I was so busy concentrating on who had done it that I missed totally noticing what else was going on. May God open our eyes to truly see the effects of the past year and look more closely and notice the transformation that has occurred in us and in the world. So thank you, Matt, for your encouragement for us to see in different ways as we grab a hold of God's fulfilled promises for our lives and for the church. Let us continue now in prayer. God of light and life, on this Easter day, we thank you for the ultimate fulfillment of your promises in the risen Christ. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death and over all the powers that would defeat us. And yet, intermingled with our thanks this year is also our collective pain. We pray for the healing of all our souls as we grieve the large COVID death toll in this country and around the world. For the loss of significant events in our lives and our connection with others. For the job losses and economic hardships of so many. And for those led further into addiction and for those struggling with mental illness. As we grieve, help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world and bending us towards love and justice. On this day of great gladness, empower us to be your ambassadors, proclaiming good news by our words, but also by our deeds. May we walk softly on the earth, caring for all people and living hopefully into your kingdom. Fill us with wonder for the possibilities as we come out of lockdown. Today we pray for the world. We lift up areas of unrest, especially at this time, the people of Myanmar. We pray for calmness and justice in the United States as the trial gets underway of policeman Derek Chauvin for the death of George Floyd. Help us as a nation to grapple with our own racism. May the death of Sarah Everard continue to prompt a fruitful discussion about sexism. We rejoice that the stuck freight ship was freed from the Suez Canal. And we pray that disruption to world trade and further damage to local economies might now be minimized. We lift up areas where COVID infections are rising, particularly in India. And we pray for uninterrupted and plentiful vaccine supplies and for their equitable distribution around the world. For all those that we know amongst us who are sick, we pray for their healing. In this world of brokenness, raise us up, renew our lives, resurrect our dreams. Through Jesus Christ, our living Saviour, we lift our prayers to you, saying together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank everybody who's participated in our worship today. Reverend Matt Finch for being our guest preacher. Thank you, Matt. And Reverend Malcolm Clark for reading scripture. And our musicians, Adrian Pell, Neil Hepplethwaite, and Elizabeth Story. And if you found us today from Facebook or YouTube, we also have a website, methodistic.org.uk, or as we like to say, methodistic.org.uk. And if you're on that website, it would be lovely to know that you've been worshipping with us today. There is a form above this video. So just type in your name and your location, and we will know that you've been here. Next week, our preacher is Reverend Mike Cassidy. Mike's a retired minister living locally. As we continue to look at the resurrection stories, his message is about doubt. Mike says, as water is to life, so doubt is to faith. Death dealing or life enhancing? So we come now to the time in our service when we offer ourselves to God, offering our time, our talent, and our treasure. And I encourage you to give your offerings to the work of your local congregation. But as it's Easter, many of our congregations have a tradition of taking up a special Easter offering to go to the Methodist Women in Britain Easter Offering Appeal. And the money raised by that appeal goes to the World Mission Fund of the Methodist Church in Britain for work in our 65 partner churches around the world. This money is used by our overseas partners to fund such work, such as enabling young women in North India to undertake nurse and midwifery training, supporting Brazilian women to work in their churches with vulnerable women and children, and developing women's leadership roles and integrating culture and art into worship across Brazil. So please send your clearly marked Easter offering donations to your local church treasurer, or look for the online giving link on our Methodistic website below this video. Let us pray together. Generous and surprising God, when we thought that death had claimed your only son, you amazed us with the resurrection. Surprise us again with your ability to turn these humble offerings into gifts that will transform the world through our witness to your love. Bless the work of the World Mission Fund and of our local congregations. We lay our very lives at your feet, O God, knowing that you will use us to proclaim and embody the gospel. Amen. We're going to finish today by singing hymn number 313, the well-known Easter hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou over death hast won. Thank you. go from here, rejoicing in the knowledge that Christ has risen. Go with open eyes to live in the light of the resurrection. And the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and restores, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's children say, Amen.